Blog Talk Radio. All right. Scum, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Square Truth Presents Bible Talk. I'm Ivan Shaw, one of the teachers here with the ISBHPK, that's the Israel School of Biblical History, Practical Knowledge. I want to welcome you to our show. As we are doing a multi-level broadcast from our school here in Albuquerque, Mexico, which is located at 7710 Suite F, Bernal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, Mexico, 87110. As I'm doing on the phone with the brother Ahmad, I believe it's Ahmad Yachwadza. I'm not sure who else there. And I'm actually here in San Antonio as we're doing the broadcast from both places, from both locations right now. Ahmad, can you hear me? Are you there? Hello.
Yes, can you hear me? Shalom.
Yes, Shalom. Hello? Your voice is a little distant. Hello, your voice is a little bit distant. Hello?
Hey, Shalom. Hello. I'm here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Your voice is just a little bit distant.
My mouth is right to my mic. How about now?
Do you have it on speaker or is it off speaker?
It's on speaker, otherwise I'm not going to be able to hear you.
Okay. How about the Skype? Is the Skype? I just tried calling Shirah.
Yeah, I was trying to see if it was working on this computer, but it apparently it's not. The Yonathan hasn't fixed the audio. I don't know how to fix it. I asked him if he could fix the audio on this computer, and he hasn't done it, and I don't know how to, so I'm waiting on him to get back to me on that. He might be at work.
Okay, could you ask Shirah to call me on Skype then? I know she tried to call me earlier, but that was on my phone, but now I've got the computer up. Maybe she can reach me through the computer.
Yeah, we just tried to, and the audio is, we wouldn't be able to hear you. The audio on this computer is still not working. That's the problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I just turned the computer off. We can turn it on and try it again, but there's no sound on this end.
Okay.
So I'll boot it up and I'll try to call you on it again if you want, but I don't think we're going to be able to hear you.
Let's try one more time. Look at her. Let's try one more time, see what happens.
Okay. We'll get an audio. We'll get a visual, if anything. But yeah, I'm gonna try it one more time.
Okay.
I'm waiting on it to boot up. Or boot back up, because I'd shut it off. A little slow, but it's coming. Okay, I'm typing in the login now. I'm logging back in. Just FYI. Now I'm waiting for the login page to pop up. So it's on yours right now, so I'll be calling him from your Skype. I'll be calling you from Shirah's Skype because that's the one that's on.
Not a problem.
And it's kind of slow logging. Okay, here's the I got the screen with the desktop screen. Waiting on the Skype screen to pop up. Thank you. So it's calling you now.
Yeah, but it's trying to reach me on my phone as opposed to.
That's weird. Let me,
on the computer.
Let me try it again. Maybe I hit the wrong one. Let me start over, man. I need to do it a different way. So instead of calling his phone.
I'm trying to call y'all now.
Up on you? You hit the wrong button. You should hit the green phone button.
Hit the video button. That's for the camera.
We usually hit the green phone button to answer.
I'm begging.
Hey, it won't do that. It's not a touch screen. Let me see the mouse. Did the mouse stop? Might be the mouse. Let me turn it off and back on. Nope. It froze on us, man. The Skype screen froze on us. Yeah, the whole screen just froze over. The cursor won't move. Yeah, sure. I'll say if you could hang up and try again.
Hey, let's do this. Shut down your Nautilus computer.
Shut it
and
down.
And then unplug the internet box. Unplug the router for like 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then plug it back in and restart the computer. I'm going to have to empty out some of the cache so it might run a little bit more proper.
Hold the button in until it shuts down. The button on the left. Okay. All right, I'm unplugging the router now.
Yeah, this one for about 30 seconds.
Okay. I'm plugging it back in. Turn the computer back on, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. It's going to take a little bit to boot back up like it did before. Thank you. All right, so we're logging in. Just typed in the login. So we're waiting on that to load up.
I see the sign. I see a 12-5 sign.
You see the menorah, right?
Yeah, sign.
Usually it's the other camera. That's the YouTube camera.
Should I go to camera settings?
Are you on video? Where is camera settings? Where is it at? Alright, hold on for me. Okay. So there's two wires. Boom and boom. These two. Yeah, it's these two. Just switch them around.
Uh oh.
What happened?
The camera just switched for a second, but then it switched back. Okay, I see somebody's hand in front of the menorah. I see the menorah.
Video settings, yes.
Right there, now you can just push it.
this camera?
There you go.
Okay. All right, how about now?
I don't see anything on this end just yet. Okay, now I see
now?
The classroom. Now I see the classroom.
We can't see you. Are we supposed to see you? You're just a blank screen.
Yeah, y'all should see me. How about now?
Maybe the camera button down here. Yeah, the camera button.
How about now?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we can see you now.
Hi, it's in the Dan.
Get out of there. No, what are you doing? We got him now.
Are we going to use him on the
voice editor? Yeah, still. I'll do both. Yeah, we're just still. Okay. All right. So we can hear you on the phone, but not on the computer still.
I'm not quite sure what's going on.
No, we can see you and hear you on our phone. So I guess we'll just do that.
I can hear you guys loud and clear on the...
There's a lot of us here tonight.
All right, that's a beautiful thing to see. Beautiful. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Who's that dressed in red in the front? Somebody dressed in all red, Beautiful to see, beautiful to see, Kyle.
Well, all right,
so sorry, everybody. So, how's everybody feeling? Well, can we do this then? Can we get everybody, can we get another phone or two, call into the blog talk, and I can turn the mics on there.
Can some more of y'all call the blog talk to our number?
What if you put up the board
up?
And we'll put it on. When we turn, as more people call in, you got to take it off speaker. It's going to be a real serious that reverb. But if everybody's mic is on, that the reverb should be turned down. As long as nobody has their speaker on.
We're hooking a Bluetooth up to the computer to see if we can get audio from it.
Okay.
Just hook it up to my phone there. That's what she's got it on. Okay. Mishaba, say something, if you would, so we can hear you, please.
Shalom, 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 shalom.
So we have you on a Bluetooth speaker now, which is pretty loud, so we can hear you loud and clear now.
Okay, cool. That'll work.
All right.
Hi, sorry, everybody. How's everybody with David Tolman?
Some of these first timers, it was pretty rough for them, but they got through it.
Good job. Y'all went over the scriptures about the Day of Atonement and what it all meant and everything?
Yes, we did. We went over it. We went through it that evening and the next evening as we broke the fast. Yes, we did.
All right, Chawab. Good job, everybody. Good job. Okay. Well, as we know, the next Holy Convocation is the Feast of Tabernacles. And we know that that's getting ready. Do you have your calendar up? Anybody got the calendar up?
The calendar, yes. It's this Friday, the 11th, through next Friday, the 18th, both days at sundown. So it's basically falls on both weekly Sabbaths, so it's two double Sabbaths in a row. First and last days both fall on the regular weekly Sabbath.
Okay. I don't know, one thing that's going on here in San Antonio is for next weekend, not this weekend, but for next weekend, we've been looking for campgrounds for like for what was done this past summer when it was Aishabad Gazelle, Ahmad Yanawasan, myself, and even the brother Michael Hobb came up. And we spent that week
in the mountains.
They hit us, in the mountains. And doing something similar here in San Antonio, but we're trying to get something planned and set up. And that, and the way it's looking, instead of going to a place that's called Canyon Lake, it's looking like we might have to just do it at the school. Luckily enough, the school here in San Antonio is large enough that we can get all the tables and all the chairs and all the tables appeared to the very back. And we can set tents up on the inside. And also in the middle area, if you remember how the school looks, in the middle area and in the back room where the refrigerator is at, we can set tents up there also. And the reason that we're really considering that is because looking at the temperature, the forecast for next week, for that Saturday going into Saturday night, is supposed to be a high of 39 with a low of 20.
Oh, wow, that's below freezing. Can't do that, huh?
Well, we could, but for a lot of first-timers, that's going to be, especially infants or whatever, we don't have enough preparation to do something like that. Not here. So to be able to go to the school and bring heaters, but still be able to bring the grills out, barbecue, and have activities for the kids so that they have a memorial, Feast of Tabernacles, where it's something that they can look forward to. That's what we're putting together here in San Antonio. And I haven't spoken to Kwakazop or Kazakh yet, but I imagine they're doing something similar in Houston and also in Norfolk. So there's an opportunity now also for Albuquerque to get something together. And I know that on the WhatsApp, actually, I had posted some ideas. Can somebody pull that up and read what he was saying? And while somebody's getting the WhatsApp, can somebody please get Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16?
Which one do you want first?
Whoever gets it first.
So the WhatsApp message was from Brother Aish was Feast of Tabernacles. First day starts October 11th, Friday sundown through Saturday sundown. We can maybe spend the weekend in booths. Last day is October 18th, Friday sundown, Saturday sundown. We should immediately find and agree on booth tent camping places for those 2 to 4 days. Maybe Jemez or East Mountains, dwelling in booths or tents. FYI, I automatically had in my head that no one was going to do it in such fashion except me, being Aish. Without being negative and leaving off that unequal suspicion, I'd like to ask to get a response by tonight. Please, if I'm a lone boulder, I can get step and driving. If I'm missing something, I'm open to reproof, counsel, and correction, edification. Deuteronomy 16:16, which you just called, and it says read more. So it's the scripture, so whoever wants to read the scripture.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man.
That's it. Just the 16th verse, right?
Oh.
So, in similar fashion, in similar fashion, that America has like 3 major high holy days: Easter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving. There's other holidays, but we know the major ones, the big ones that everything shuts down. There's nothing moving, nothing going on. There's Easter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving. Well, in a similar fashion, Israel had 3, high holy days. We had holy convocations, where there were 3 that were really I don't know what I'm looking for. We got it by the Most High. Well, with special regard, that these three convocations were mandatory, and they were greater. I didn't want to say these were greater, but they were extreme importance. Right. So if we can read the scripture one more time,
verse 16, 3 times in a year.
Where we at?
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks.
And we know the feast of unleavened bread is the feast of unleavened bread, that's the Passover. And for as much as importance as it is for us to make the Passover, there's 2 other convocations that the Most High deems just as important, just as mandatory, that all men are supposed to appear at these times. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the Passover. Leon, please.
The Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then the Feast of Weeks, and then the Feast of
And also
in
the Feast of Weeks, which is the Feast of Weeks, which is the Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover. That's the time that we're also supposed to gather together. And we know how important that one is, because that's what we read about in Acts chapter 2. We read about the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and those that were gathered in Jerusalem at that time. That the reason they were all gathered in Jerusalem at that time is that they were observing the high holy day of Pentecost, or 50th day. So the first high holy day that the Most High is really, really regards is the Passover. That he all males are really required to be there. Then he says the Pentecost. And then after Pentecost, he says what?
The Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles.
And in the Feast of Tabernacles.
and they shall not appear before the Lord empty.
So this is a time that as males, we really are required to gather together. Okay? So, again, we are observing here in San Antonio the first day of the tabernacles. We are going to make sure we observe that. But then to actually go in tents and in booths, we're going to observe that next Saturday, going Saturday, Saturday night, and Sunday. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26, or 23, I mean. And I might, if you have some more to read of ISIS, post, please do.
It's probably where you're going, Leviticus 23 and 34 through 37, or actually through 40, all the way down to 44, he has on the message. So 11 verses, or which ones did you want?
Let's get those.
Okay, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Verse 35, on the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Verse 37.
All right, so,
these are
again can please get a good definition for the word solemn.
For the word what?
Solemn. In verse 36, it says a solemn assembly.
Solemn. Gotcha.
There's accustomed to use, that is, to hold or to hold on or continue, as we have wont.
I'm sorry.
Anniversary. I'm reading out of 1828. That was I think that was going on to the first definition, though, is an anniversary observed once a year with religious ceremonies.
Okay, cool.
The worship,
so we're saying that the Feast of Tabernacles is an anniversary, and that this is the day that we are supposed to assemble. And that's why it said, it made the statement for there not to be any work, so that there would be no excuse why we cannot assemble during this time. So there'd be no excuses that I will assemble, but I got to work. I will observe this anniversary, and I will gather together with everybody, but I got to work. So this is what the Most High is now. No work. So there's no excuses why we cannot gather together. Okay, Yeshua, what else do you have for Solomon?
It says, the worship of this image was advanced and a solemn supplication.
And again, where are you reading from? Where are you reading from?
Webster's 1828.
Okay, cool. Read it from the top then.
Okay. There's an anniversary observed once a year with the religious ceremonies. The worship of this image was advanced and a solemn supplication observed every year. And the second one says, religiously grave, marked with pomp and sanctity, attended with religious rites. his holy rites and solemn feasts profaned. Religiously serious.
So definition number three says what?
Religiously serious, piously grave, devout, marked by reference to the Most High as solemn prayer, the solemn duties of the sanctuary.
So this is a very, very, very near and dear convocation to the Most High. This is something the Most High really, really looks at, that we gather ourselves together during this time. That it is supposed to be a solemn assembly. And it says, religiously serious, piously grave, religiously grave, devout, marked by reverence to God. That this is the way that we really get to show the Most High respect. And that we find a way to gather together and observe the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, here in San Antonio, we've done this different ways, if I might explain this. Over the years, one thing we've done, and Houston did the same thing. What we did was, at times, we've had dinners at everybody's house on different nights. And then in having the dinner at each house for different nights, there was a different theme. Like in San Antonio, we have Israel families. So on the night it was at their house, it was Israel food for that night, and it fed the whole camp. Another day, it might have been Levi. So it was Haitian food served for everybody at this particular family's house. At another house, it was or tabernacle, it would be Judite food. But whatever it was, that was one of the ways we observed this, in that it was a way for us to gather together at everybody's house, but it was either financially or honestly weather-wise, we couldn't actually go outside into the tents. We couldn't actually go outside into the booths. But looking more so at, it wasn't just about being in the tents and the booths as much as it was us being able to still gather together and enjoy each other's company. So that was one way we observed it. Another way we observed it is on the last day, the last weekend, we either got to Shashwan's house or we went to the Brother Yashara's house, and we set the tents up, and we cooked and we ate there. And that was a lot of fun for the kids, to be able to spend the night together in the tents. Like I said, one year it was at Yashara's house. Another year it was at Shashma's house. And again, it took preparation. It took a lot of preparation. And that we had to make sure we set a lot of ant traps, mosquito traps, and we set the tents up so that it could really be enjoyed. And again, this year, they're trying to go to Ashley Canyon Lake or some campgrounds to get things accomplished. And if not, we're going to go to the school and just camp out in the school. But we're able to do those things here. Then in Albuquerque, it would take the brothers and sisters, the families there, to come together and look at the resources that y'all have, to be able to come together with what can be done. Like I said, I know Ice is very prepared and ready to go the whole 8 days out away from the city and live in a tent that whole time. And that is beautiful. That is 100% beautiful. But I don't know if everybody can afford to do that on the first and the last day, as much as if we get together on the last day at least to observe this. And if Ice does go out to a campground, then maybe y'all can meet up with him on that last day, the last weekend, kind of like we did in the mountains this past summer. Yeah, this way it's not intruding on Ice's observing and celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, but we can still fulfill on the first day and the last day as you're coming together, living in tents, and doing this and accomplishing this. But it's going to need input from y'all. It's going to need input from everybody there. What plans and what accommodations and what is actually going to be done? Is Ice there?
Yes, he is.
Right,
he's out of the camera.
I forgot you got bad eyes.
Ice, please speak up anytime you need to, Rod.
I was doing a little research while you were talking. Definitely.
So, as you're doing a little research, so it says this is a solemn assembly. This time is very important to the Most High. And we know if we can get somebody please get Judges chapter 5, verse 11.
Yeah, the Judges chapter 5, verse 11. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down. I'm sorry.
Can you read it one more time so we can break it down?
You got it. Judges chapter 5, verse 11. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water.
When we read Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, and one of these days I'm about to really go ahead and break down those two chapters. But Jeremiah chapter 50 and Jeremiah chapter 51 are prophesying about the destruction of Babylon. And in the destruction of Babylon, it's a prophecy about the destruction of Babylon. It calls for every archer to shoot, or that bends the bow, to shoot against Babylon. We know that that's symbolic or metaphoric of all nations eventually turning against America and firing upon America. Thus, when you put that together with Revelation, it talks about being that lake of fire. Whenever you throw a rock in a pail of water, what happens? There's a ripple effect. And that ripple effect spreads across the whole pond, does it not?
Yeah, con.
Well, the Most High is describing, when the Most High Revelation is describing the lake of fire, it's going to be as if for all the missiles that the nations are going to be firing against America, that as each one of those nuclear bombs is going off, each one from Korea, Venezuela, from wherever, whoever has nuclear armaments, and can be firing against America, as is prophesied in the Bible, as each one of those bombs is going off, it's going to be like a ripple, like when you throw a rock into a lake, like when you throw a rock into a pond, and it's going to just keep spreading, and keep spreading out, as we see the mushroom clouds or whatever, that it's going to be like those ripples, like you throw a lot of rocks into a lake, and it just spread across the whole lake. That's the judgment of America, as in the Bible it's called Babylon the Great. So when it's sitting here in Judges chapter 5, can you read that one more time, please, read that first part?
Excuse me, Judges chapter 5, verse 11. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water.
Those that are delivered from the noise of the archers. And we understand, again, I haven't gone over those two chapters, Jeremiah chapter 50, Jeremiah chapter 51, and also through Revelations. But the Lord is commanding all nations, they're going to fire, Joel chapter 3rd chapter, all nations are going to fire their armaments against America. And it will cause America to look like a lake of fire, from sea to shining sea. It's going to be like it's on fire. And that if we're going to be delivered from that destruction, those of us that are going to be, I ain't going to say us, those Israelites that are going to be delivered at that time, it says those that are delivered from the noise of the archers, read on from archers.
In the places of drawing water.
It says in the places of drawing water. Now, when we look at the scriptures, the people who drew water were servants. The drawers of water were servants. And we know the servants that the Bible's talking about, not from the drawers of water back in the Old Testament, but from the modern-day slavery that we're in now, that we're still in servitude, that we're going to be delivered from the place where the archers are shooting at, but also from the place that we've been made to serve, that place being America, that place being Babylon the Great. That place being, as the scripture also called it, spiritual Egypt. That we're looking to be delivered when that destruction comes, be delivered from the captivity, and be delivered from the destruction that's coming. So those that are delivered from the nose of the archers, in the places of drawing waters, go ahead.
There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord.
It says in that place is where we're supposed to be rehearsing the righteous acts of the Most High. Actually doing God's righteousness. Actually doing what's right in the eyes of the Most High. That is in this place that we want, at this time now, we want to be rehearsing these things. We want to be practicing these things so that we can be delivered from the destruction that's coming. So we can be delivered from the current captivity, the current oppression that we're in right now. And to be delivered from this, we want to be rehearsing God's righteous acts, what God calls righteousness. We want to be doing those things. Please finish.
Even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel.
Right. It said towards. We know we're not there because we're over here. But in preparation to get ready to go over there, these are the things that we want to be practicing. God's righteousness. The things that God calls right. We want to be practicing and rehearsing those things. Right? Gather together for Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. We want to be found in that action. We want to be found in those things that we're doing and gathering together. If we please let Judges go, holding Leviticus, can we please get Zephaniah 2:1?
Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together, gather together, O nation not desired, before
right,
the decree brings forth.
And these are some of the righteous acts that we want to be practicing, that we're gathering ourselves together. Okay, can we read that again from the top, please, and tell everybody where you're at?
Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Verse 4.
All right, cool. I'm sorry. I'm going to finish the scripture. Hey, I'm sorry, you said, can you do that one more time, please? One more time.
Okay. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yeah, gather together, O nation not desired. Verse 2.
So the Most High is asking for the nation of people that's not desired for us to gather ourselves together. And we know some of the 12 tribes of Israel. There's time for us to gather together as the nation of Israel. Read on from there.
Verse 2. Before the decree being forth, before the day passed as the chaff.
It says before the decree brings forth. The decree is that that's it. The Lord is going to blow that trumpet, like it talks about in 2 Peter, that it's done. Now the judgment of America is finally here. It's over. So it says before the decree springs forth, before the day passed as a shaft. Now we know in ancient Israel that the wheat grows on shaft, and that you take the stalks of wheat and you shake them, and it loses all the wheat grain. And you keep the grain, and then all that chaff, you take it and you put it in bundles and you burn it up. And there will be some great, tremendous bonfires that we will build from the chaff, because the chaff is no good. That what you wanted was the grain from the wheat. Matter of fact, can somebody put up a picture of wheat and chaff? I'll see if I can do the same thing here.
So it's wheat. It's not the same thing. You're supposed to separate the wheat from the chaff. So if I'm getting this right, the chaff is the outside covering, and you're supposed to take the wheat out of it, and then the chaff is like a kind of like a sunflower seed in the shell, right? The chaff would be like the shell that you throw away, and you're trying to get the
right.
You're actually trying to get the seed that's inside of it. It's like the same concept. If I'm getting
it,
right.
The same concept, yeah. Kind.
Okay.
I'll put it shell also, yeah.
Okay, I just pulled up a perfect picture of it. That makes sense. I never really knew like about wheat like that, but okay. Okay.
And then you have to shake it, you have to shake the wheat or beat the wheat against the rock to separate it from the chaff. You get the grain, you have to beat it against the rock or crush it and then shake it so you can get the wheat or the grain separated from the chaff. Now, this is a peanut shell. Like a peanut shell.
Okay.
Once you get the nut out of the peanut shell, what do you do with the shell?
You throw it away.
You throw it away because it's no good. But in Israel, what we would do is instead of just throwing it away, we would get these great big piles of chaff, and then we would ignite them and have these great big huge fires. And they would burn very hot and very intense. So, when the Most High is making a reference to before the decree brings forth, before the day passed at the shaft, is because the way we've done the shaft is, again, you collect it all together and you burn it. And we know that the day of the Lord is going to be with what? Fire, right?
Right.
Well, real quick, I'm sorry. I know we're jumping, and I apologize. Can we get 2 Peter 3 and 10 and Isaiah 65 and 15?
Second Peter chapter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and good and godliness?
Knowing that this day is going to happen, we will make sure that we're doing the godly thing. We will make sure that we're doing God's righteousness. Because it says the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Now, the only man-made thing that we know on earth that can melt the elements is nuclear fire. That's the only heat we know that can actually melt elements. It can melt the air. That this is going to be a great and dreadful day that we want to be delivered from, that we want to be saved from. And we know that we're going to be saved from this day because we're rehearsing the righteous acts of the Most High. We're rehearsing doing God's righteousness, like the Feast of Tabernacles, like as we're doing the weekly Sabbath, coming together for the feast. That these are the things that we want to be putting in practice. Like we just all celebrated and observed the Day of Atonement. That these are the things that we want to be doing and practicing God's righteousness. All right, can we get the other scripture? Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 15.
66.
I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 66. Forgive me.
You know, too, just in this point, too, like I was talking about, the gathering of the grain and then the chaff being left off to burn. The grain is, the grain is gathered because that's the part that's kept, again, signifying, you know, the gathering of the good part and the part that is to be kept.
Kind.
My God, Isaiah 66. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Verse 16, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many.
So it's going to be a pretty dreadful day. It's going to be a pretty dreadful day, and it's going to be a day of fire. This is where you hear the old church saying about fire and brimstone preaching. But it's going to be a pretty dreadful day, all right, full of fire. But if we want to be delivered from that destruction, let's go back to Judges chapter 5, verse 11.
In Judges chapter 5, verse 11. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there.
So again, those that are delivered, those that delivered from the noise of the archers. And again, we know the archers, again, is referring to anybody who has a weapon from the countries surrounding Babylon, from the countries surrounding America, that they're going to fire upon America. Okay, I'm going to find that scripture. Go ahead, Al.
This is, again, they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates.
Okay, cool. Let's go to Jeremiah. Let's see, just real quick, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 29. And then we'll start verse 28.
Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 28. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God. The vengeance
and
of
this
the
is what we
want
to be part of. We want to be part of those that escape out of this destruction. We want to be able to escape out of this destruction, to declare and to be eyewitnesses and to tell people about how the Lord took vengeance upon Babylon. How the Lord took vengeance upon America. We want to be those who survived this destruction and be able to give eyewitness testimony like our forefathers did coming out of Egypt. That they was able to give eyewitness testimony to the destruction of the Egyptians. That we want to be able to give and be able to survive and be able to give the eyewitness testimony of how the Lord destroyed Babylon the Great. And be able to live and tell about it. And be eyewitnesses to His Majesty. One more time, please, sir.
Verse 28. The voice
of them that flee, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 28. Well, yeah, I know a lot of people who are not familiar with the Bible, and they're still trying to write these notes down so they can study them. They need time to be able to write it down so they can study, so that they can see and be able to share with other people what the Bible is saying. That they can share and see these scriptures and what they're saying. So, and a lot of times, sometimes I do jump to a lot of scriptures. It's important that the scripture is repeated, the whole scripture is repeated, so that people who are taking notes so they can study will be able to get their study notes together. So that they might be able to teach others what the Most High is saying. They might be able to teach others what these scriptures are saying. All right, so Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 28, one more time. And tell everybody where you're at.
Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 28. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple.
All right, so to be able to declare the Lord's vengeance, correct?
Verse 29. Call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow. Camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape.
It says, let none thereof escape. So this is the Most High talking to the nations that surround America. And he's telling them, gather the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow. So any military, any country that has a military, he's saying, gather together, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. That when the bombing starts, and it's going to be thermonuclear bombs and whatever bombs they got, there's not going to be any way to escape unless we're in the chariots of the Most High. It's not going to be like the Independence Day where you can jump on a plane and barely escape the flames of fire. It's not like it's going to be some nuclear fire shelters that you may be low enough into the earth to be able to hide from and escape the destruction that's coming to this place. There's not going to be any able to escape. The only escape that's going to happen is if we are on the chariots. There is no escape. There is no plan B. Reading on.
Middle of 29. Recompense her.
So we're in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 29, and we're in the middle of verse 29 now. Go ahead.
Recompense her according to her work, according to
and
all.
And says, pay Babylon back according to her work. Father, rape, robbery, murdering, plundering, stealing, pillaging, the Monsanto, the hybrid foods, for everything that they've done, the stripping and the raping of countries, the stripping and the raping of people, recompense her according to all her work. Leon?
According to all that she has done, do unto her, for she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel.
Time. And this is why, again, when it's referring to Judges chapter 5, verse 11, about those that are delivered from the noise of the archers, that when we put it together with the archers here in Jeremiah chapter 50, we understand what it's talking about. That we're able to put this together, that was a prophecy that was given to Deborah about what was going to happen and what we as Israelites would need to be doing in order to be delivered from this type of destruction. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 49 now. And let's start at verse 20.
Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 20. Right? 49, you said?
Hold on. Let me see. Let's start at verse...
Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus shall the Lord of hosts.
Let me ask a class. Who is Edom?
Does everybody know who Edom is? I don't want to give it away. Everybody knows.
Who is Edom?
I don't know.
Anybody who knows
the answer? The gringos. Oh, you don't want to give it away either. Does everybody know who Edom is? Who is talking about when we're talking about Edom? Y'all heard us say it before. Y'all know Edomites. Y'all heard us say Edomites. So-called white men. Exactly. So Esau is Edom. This is the same. Edom is the surname of Esau. Esau is wasted away as he. Edom is Adawam, which means red, because they came out red and hairy, red all over. Red and hairy all over. So Edom comes from the word Adawam, which means red. So it's just another name for Esau, the so-called white man.
Okay.
So that's who it's talking about. It's talking about Esau. So, yeah.
All right, cool, cool. That's definitely a class that we need to go over, right?
Oh, it wouldn't hurt, I guess. Yeah. God.
Well, but let's go ahead and keep reading, and we'll catch up. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 7.
Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished?
So now, in referring to the so-called white man, that one thing that we as Israelites have gotten accustomed to is that if there's ever a problem, the government will always have to find a way to fix it. That if there's ever a problem, that there's a government official, there's a government agency, there's a government task force that's been put together to solve and come up with a think tank to solve whatever problems we might have going on. If it's a deficit, if it's a drought, if it's an epidemic, that the government has got people in place that's going to be able to find a solution to whatever problems we have going on. So the most I ask the question concerning Edom, or concerning the so-called white man, with all his think tanks, with all, again, all his professors, with his Harvard, from Cambridge, that they can always come with an answer, especially in the movies. In the movies, they always get the right answer. So it says, concerning Edom, thus says the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Now, Teman, just like there's 12 tribes in the nation of Israel, there's also tribes in the nation of Edom. And one of the smartest tribes in the nation of Edom is Teman. So he's asking, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the fruit? Is their wisdom vanished? That they're going to come to a time where they have no answers for the plagues that are going to be attacking them. Similar to when Moses was delivering Israel out of ancient Egypt, that the Egyptian magicians, the Egyptian sorcerers, the Egyptian scientists could not answer the miracles that the Most High was performing. That right now, the so-called white man's science, he can explain away anything as some type of scientific anomaly, some type of scientific reasoning. But there's going to be things that's going to happen, just like crop circles. That the crop circles have gotten so elaborate and gotten so magnificent that there's no way it could be somebody with a 2x4 and some sticks going out to a field and stomping down the wheat to make these incredible designs. It's impossible. So to be able to try and explain away through science, or try and explain away through reason, that now there's things that are happening that the only way they can be explained is by miracles. The only way they can be explained is that it's the hand of God, because it defies science. It defies reason. Reading on.
Verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 8. Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him.
Right, and that the nation of Esau, the nation of Edom, is going to be judged. And we're coming to that time now. We're coming to the time of their judgment. Just like the Egyptians had time of judgment, the nation of Edom is about to be judged. Reading on.
Verse 9. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret.
Yeah, if we had crops of grapes, and you went through and you picked the grapes, that you would lose some grapes, that you wouldn't be able to get all of them, that there'd be something left. And that even a thief, when a thief breaks into your house, your car, whatever, they leave something. But the Most High is prophesying in verse 10 that when he comes against Esau, the so-called white man Edom, he's not going to leave anything. There's not going to be anything left. Jeremiah 49 and 10, one more time, please, sir.
Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 10. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places. And he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not.
Right, so whether it be America, and America doesn't go nowhere without Britain. It'll be America, Britain, and Canada. They do everything together. When the Most High finally brings his judgment, then there's not going to be any country or anybody that's going to be able to help when the Most High finally brings this final judgment. Reading on.
Verse 11. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive. And let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken.
Right, we know and see, we can know and look back through history and see the desolation that Caucasians have caused upon Native Americans, upon so-called Mexicans, among so-called black people, and that there's been no judgment against them. There's not been one time they've been brought to the UN on criminal charges for the crimes that have been committed against Native Americans, so-called Native Americans, for the crimes committed against so-called Mexicans, for the crimes and atrocities committed against so-called African Americans, that they have not been judged. They find themselves not guilty for all the crimes and murders that they've committed, that they have not been judged. But now, judged. That this whole thing of white privilege, that they can do what they want and nobody can say or do anything against them, God's been seeing and recording all this. Reading on, please, sir.
And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished?
Right. That everybody else has been punished, but now so-called white people have never been punished for anything they do. It seems like they always get away with it. And so the Most High asked the question, do you think you're going to be unpunished for all that you've done, all the crimes you've committed against nature, against people, against the earth, and against my chosen people? Do you really think you're going to get away? Read.
Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it.
Right.
Verse 13, for I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozra shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse. And all the cities thereof shall be perpetual wastes.
Now, Bozra, it was the chief capital city of the country of Edom. It was the number one place of commerce for the country of Edom back in ancient days. We know the number one place of commerce with so-called white people today is America. So these are prophecies against America. Verse 14.
Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 14. I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to the battle.
Right. So the Most High is going to cause nations to come against America. At one time, America was untouchable. Now we see where a lot of nations are saying, Yankee, go home. Now we're seeing where a lot of nations from Al-Qaeda, from the guy down there in South Korea, Saddam Hussein at one time, we're seeing where a lot of nations are now coming against America. From Vietnam to Korea, they can't stand America. Reading on.
Verse
15 or low. You want me to 14 again? Jeremiah chapter 49 verse 15. You got it. Jeremiah chapter 49 verse 15. For lo.
I'm sorry. Verse 14. Now, let me get out of here. Verse 14.
Oh, no problem. Jeremiah chapter 49 verse 14. I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to the battle.
And rise up to the what?
Up to the battle.
To the battle, to this destruction, to this war. Go ahead.
Verse 15, for lo, I will make thee small among the heathen and despised among men. Verse 16, thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock.
And again, what people dwell in the cleft of the rocks?
That was Esau, original caveman.
That's why they call themselves Caucasians, because they know they all come from the Caucasus Mountains of South Georgia, Russia.
Right.
And the word Caucasian, you can look it up. The word Caucasian means cave dweller. They know who they are. Let's go ahead and cut this short. Let's jump down to verse 21.
Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 21. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. The noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea.
So it tells you that when the Most High finally destroys and moves upon this place, that the noise thereof is going to be heard where?
In the Red Sea.
Right, in the Red Sea. So when America is destroyed and all the nations are bombing and sending whatever they got against America, that the noise, you're going to be able to hear the destruction of America all the way over at the Red Sea, across the Pacific Ocean, across the Middle East to the Red Sea, you're going to be able to hear this destruction. So, one last time, somebody please read Judges 5:11 one more time.
Judges chapter 5, verse 11. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the
So those of us that are going to be delivered from the noise of the archers. I'm hoping everybody's got a little bit better mental picture. I hope I was able to paint this for y'all enough to be able to see what this is talking about, what Judges chapter 5, verse 11 is talking about. That those of us that are going to be delivered from the noise of the archers, that now we're seeing from the Most High perspective what he means by about being delivered from the noise of the archers. That it's about being delivered from the destruction of America. And the only way we're going to be saved is if to be on those chariots, the so-called UFOs that the Most High sending. That's going to be our only salvation. And that's not going to be based on how good your credit score is. That's not going to be based on how well of an American you are. It's going to be based on how well we're rehearsing God's righteous acts. That we want to be found doing, rehearsing his acts, so we might be delivered from this destruction. That we're able to escape this destruction because we're doing God's righteousness. So the only reason I want to go over that is as a reminder for Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, that the Feast of Tabernacles is a very, very important day in the eyes of the Father. And as Israelites, it's a very, very important day for us to practice God's righteousness. That we actually get a chance to gather together and be together. So it's time to really put some planning together and to figure out what Albuquerque is going to do. Now, again, I know the brother Ice and his family. If they haven't already have a plan, most likely they're going up to the mountains. If just like when we went to the mountains this past summer, if you can't make the whole 8 days, then it'd be good to plan for at least that last weekend, that we can still gather ourselves together in doing God's righteousness. My last scripture is Matthew
6:33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Cool. So we know that if we need help, then we got to make sure that we're seeking and doing the Most High's righteousness. If we want his assistance, then we want to make sure we're doing God's righteousness. Seeking first the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness, so that everything can be added to us. So I know it's late here, as you know, we're out ahead. Everybody there, I know has got Brother Ice's phone number and is on the WhatsApp. If really it's time for some planning in, and what's going to happen from this Friday sundown to next weekend. I know that Ahmad, you got a move coming up. That's going to be taken into consideration. But in addition, there's got to be some also thought put into how this high holiday is going to be accomplished here in Albuquerque.
Okay. For sure.
All right, so this is what I'm going to do. Y'all can still talk about it. I know the brother Ice is there, and he has some things that he wanted to mention. I'm going to go ahead and hang up now. But in the morning, I will be having another blog talk. Or not even blog. We'll have to do blog talk. But we can get together and wrap in the morning also to talk further about whether plans can be made and also go on with a class or what have you. But I would highly suggest that since everybody's there in Albuquerque right now, you have a little ice show right now, it'd be a good idea to go ahead and talk to Rap about what can be done. And then I know also the sister JoJo and the sisters also, I got the text, but they want to raffle off a garment for $30 a raffle ticket. To help build up money for the sewing department there in Albuquerque. And it's a beautiful garment. I definitely want to put some money in towards the raffle and getting that together. It's beautiful. I know there's some other things that need to be talked about and discussed also. But right now, I highly recommend that everybody that's there kind of put in, just take 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and y'all kind of start to raffle and talk about what can be done, or what have you, and try to get this together. Is that too rigorous for anybody?
No, we can do that. That's what we were going to do.
Cool.
Before we leave here.
Okay, Vince. Well, I'm going to finish up the things around here also that I need to take care of. And like I said, I will be doing blog talk again in the morning.
Okay.
And whoever doesn't have my number, 210-784-8463. Any questions, comments, or whatever, hit me up. I got you.
Okay. Said Blog Talk in the morning.
That's planned, yeah.
Okay.
And if not, if it's just us talking and planning, we can still do that too.
Okay.
So tomorrow's Thursday, right?
Yeah, tomorrow's Thursday. Yes. Thursday morning. It's Wednesday night, so tomorrow's Thursday. Con.
Con.
Okay.
All right, then, to the Israel family, Yahweh Ba'asham Yahshua Berkata. And to the sister, Yahweh Shema Aratan Ba'asham Yahshua. Oh, Shalom.
Hey, Shalom.
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 Shalom.